Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, everybody, welcome on in inside Legacy Arena here in Birmingham. Joined by Mark Murphy, I'm Nathan King. We're just a couple hours removed from Auburn getting a win in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. Mark, for the second straight year, Auburn will be advancing to the second weekend of the tournament. Of course, this time they did it as a 9 seed against 8 seed Iowa. Obviously, this was a really great offense. This is what we talked about heading into this game. And Mark, I think the biggest thing that people, especially if they came to the game, that they will come away with is that this was a true home court advantage for Auburn. I think this was everything they could have hoped for and more whenever they got a draw in Birmingham in terms of the turnout in inside Legacy Arena.
Yeah, that was one of the big takeaways from the players after the game, Nathan. They talked about how excited they were with the crowd and how much energy it gave them. And, you know, one of the players said, every time we had a run, the crowd had a run. Yeah. And, yeah, it was definitely loud courtside and sort of felt a little bad for Iowa because they were the 8 seed, Auburn was the 9 seed, and Auburn had a true home court advantage. And you know, next up is Houston, number 1 seed, and you know, Auburn's going to try to flip the script from last year in Greenville, where Auburn was the high seeded team and went down in the second round to Miami, a team that got hot late in the season, made a run deep into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Auburn's obviously hoping it could be the same this year. Miami was a 10 seed. Correct, and Auburn's a 9 seed this time around. They will be playing Houston. We were watching this game that was on the floor here while we were finishing up some work in Northern Kentucky. Hung in there, but Houston's got a couple injuries that they'll be keeping an eye on. Of course, we'll keep you guys updated on that. But in this game, Mark, Iowa came out. They missed 21 of their first 27 shots. Started 0 of 9 from deep. There was a stat I was keeping an eye on in the first half. When Iowa shoots below 30% from deep this season, they are 1-11. They ended up shooting below 30%, I think 26%, something like that, from beyond the arc. That was a big key for Auburn in the first half, was limiting Iowa really just in the half court, getting them to slow down offensively. On the other end, Mark, it showed because they got such a good display out of their bench. But Auburn had a true 11-man lineup that you were showing me in the first half. You know, when Yoan Traore had to play because Auburn had foul trouble at the four spot, Trey Donaldson had a great game. This was an Auburn team that, you know, has liked to pride itself on its depth all season long, and it really came through for them when it mattered tonight.
Yeah, 9 players scored, 9 players had rebounds in this game, and, you know, the bench really stepped up and played well. And, you know, that's been the MO of this team when it's played well this year. Nathan, a lot of guys contributed. 6 players scored in double figures. When that happens, it's hard to beat a team. And, you know, Jani Broome, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 5 block shots. And, you know, I talked to him afterwards. We just posted a video with what he had to say. And he reached over and grabbed Trey Donaldson and said, hey, freshman played a great game. It was a team effort. You know, he said, when we play together like this and people come off the bench and contribute, we're a much tougher team to beat, and he's right.
Yeah, Trey Donaldson had a massive, was kind of a catalyst for a huge stretch there for Auburn. I wrote about it in my takeaways, but you know, if you had told me that Auburn was going to get into a 3-point shootout at any point in this game with Iowa, that maybe wouldn't bode well for them. But they got into a 3-point shootout. The teams exchanged 8 3-point attempts in 3 minutes there in the second half. And what happened? Auburn came out of that with its largest lead of the game. Katie Johnson and Trey Donaldson, they combined to go 5 for 5 from beyond the arc. That was the best moment of the game for Auburn. Trey Donaldson, 3 of 3 off the bench at the point guard spot. You know, he was so effective within the offense that you know, they didn't put Wendell Green back in. They let him have another run when Wendell Green would usually come back in the game to close things out. And on the subject of Wendell Green, you know, he got off to, I believe, a 1-for-8 start in this game. Missed a couple open three-pointers. They were doing a good job of kind of walling him off on the perimeter, obviously keeping him contained, not allowing him to break inside. And break down the defense is a key for any team, but when it mattered, it wasn't in the version of a three-point shot at the buzzer. It wasn't, you know, some crazy shot at the end of the game, but when it mattered, he came through in some really big moments for Auburn down the stretch, and the entire team did at the foul line. You and I were sitting next to each other, and, you know, we're shell-shocked that Jahni Broome had two completely clean trips to the foul line. He was obviously very excited about that after the game. You know, Wendell was saying, we're very confident, and we know he's a good free throw shooter when he puts it all together. And so, you know, when Iowa came within four after making a little bit of a run, Auburn was 11 of 12 from the foul line for the rest of the game.
Another person who really stepped up off the bench was Katie Johnson. He led the team in the plus-minus categories. When he was on the court, Auburn outscored Iowa by 13 points. And this was good KD tonight. A lot of energy on defense. Got compliments from the Iowa coach for how he played. And Katie was 4-7 from the field. And caused some havoc on defense. And, yeah, it was fun to watch. I think the only really downside in this game was Chris Moore, you know, hurting his shoulder again. It's caused him a problem this season. It was a shame because he'd been coming around. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, they needed his defense and rebounding, but he was very limited on what he could do tonight. So, you know, they used the bench extensively, especially with Jalen Williams getting two fouls in the first couple of minutes.
Yeah, and then in the second half, I believe, so it's less than 3 minutes into the game, he gets two fouls. Less than 3 minutes in the second half, he picks up his third foul. And so, you know, they're really just kind of having to put some interesting lineups in there. We mentioned Yoan Traore. He got a lot of run at the four spot in this game and held his own, did everything he could. You were talking about, you know, Jahni Broome in this game. He's the first SEC player in an NCAA tournament. I don't know if you heard the Anthony Davis stat after the game or not. He is the first SEC player in an NCAA tournament game to have at least 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty good company for, you know, for a guy like him. We kind of, and you could do this all season, kind of put the foul counter on him and say, you know, is he in foul trouble? What is the situation looking like for Broome toward the end of the game? Because his gravity, you know, similar to how Wendell Green runs the offense on the outside, his gravity on the inside is so important for them on both ends of the floor. So the fact that he was able to play without a foul, maybe I'm mistaken, but I think his first foul came either late in the first half or early in the second half. So he went a long time without one. They were able to play him through the stretch run. And there were some times when really Iowa just didn't have the size to stop him on the inside.
You know, something else too that stood out to me, you know, Chris Murray, really good player for Iowa.
Yes.
He took 18 shots and only made 5 of them. And, you know, I think one of the big matchups was going to be Jalen Williams. So other guys had to step up and help play defense. And one of those was Lior Berman. Now, Lior didn't have a really good game offensively, but he was sitting there matched up against a guy who was giving up about 5 inches to and some serious weight. And he held his own and made him take some off-balance bad shots. And, you know, he didn't get going. He didn't get going offensively with Berman guarding him.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, Murray, I think, had the stereotypical good NBA player game where you look down at, you know, you're watching during the game, you're like, wow, he's made some really timely shots. He had back-to-back threes as Iowa was trying to make the run. And then you look at the stat sheet at the end, you're like, oh, he only shot, you know, 30% from the floor. But he got them buckets when it mattered. You know, Wendell Green said after the game, you know, we knew this team was going to go on a run at some point. You watch them all season long. Zepp and Bruce both said after the game they watched the film of the Michigan State ending it was at 23 points in the last 2 minutes or something like that for Iowa to come back, send it to overtime, and then they won the game there. Crazy ending against Michigan State. So they knew that Iowa was capable of that. They knew those low shooting percentages weren't going to hold up throughout the entire game. But this is a team where they would like to think that all of their close matchups this season, all the games where things didn't go their way, like you mentioned in Tuscaloosa, they'd like to think that that's all paying off now. Because, like the stat you said, I mean, it was pretty much the exact same time left in the game. They were up by 17 in Tuscaloosa. It was the exact same time that they were up by 17 here. The difference is, I think, here in Tuscaloosa, they had difficulty finding shots.
And Broome was in foul trouble.
And you had all the foul trouble at the end. Auburn was able to get contributions from everybody on the roster here and able to close things out. But, you know, it was another example, like the Tennessee game at the end of the regular season. Anytime this team gets in a close game down the stretch, you know, you're sweating it out a little bit. So this was another example of a win for them when it counted against a quality opponent, and obviously on the biggest possible stage here in the tournament.
And it's helpful to have Wendell Green shooting foul shots in the last 3 or 4 minutes of games. And he came through again, and Wendell, I think it was 8-8 at the foul line.
Yeah, he holds the record now.
Over 30.
I don't think he knew that until you told him after the game. Yeah,
over 30 straight free throws without a miss. That's the Auburn record. He said he'd never done it in high school.
Yeah.
And he certainly hadn't done it in college.
Yeah. Obviously, he was huge for them down the stretch, and now they draw the one seed, the number two overall seed, Houston. And like we talked about before, you know, it was as good a home crowd as Auburn could have hoped for, and the players were talking after the game, you know, we need that again on Saturday, because Houston is a fantastic team. They struggled for a lot of the game tonight against Northern Kentucky, and like I say, you know, we'll look a little bit more into those injuries. We'll talk to Houston players and Auburn tomorrow, as you're listening to this on, you know, on Thursday or Friday. We'll talk to them on Friday, get as many injury updates as we can. But, you know, Auburn's, like Bruce Pearl said all season long, they've put themselves in position to be in position, and now they're one of the last 32 teams contending for the national title. And I just really think, Mark, like, you know, last year's team, obviously they had hopes of going to the Sweet 16. They had hopes of going the second week, and we were such a good team for most of the season. This is an example of why we have said this has been such a good coaching job by Bruce Pearl this season. Just keep the team together, knowing it's going to break right for you at some point. And this was one of their better all-around performances of the season, and they probably wouldn't even have been in this position if they hadn't, you know, kept their heads about them, not gotten down when they lost 9-13. I mean, there's not a lot of teams that lose 9-13 games going into the NCAA tournament. And so, you know, they got everything they wanted in this situation, and now they're advancing in the tournament for the second straight year.
Yeah, they stepped up and put their big boy pants on in the final 4 minutes when the game was on the line. That lead was cut to 4 points. And then after that, they played really well, Nathan.
Yeah, it's obviously a massive win for them to be continuing on here in the big dance. And they now win their 11th straight opening round game in the NCAA tournament, all the way back as 1984. I don't know who Sonny Smith and Auburn played back then, but they lost that game, and they haven't lost in the opening round.
They lost to Richmond.
Richmond, that's what it was.
And in a crazy game, they got way behind, and then Barkley went berserk, and they just came up 1 point short. And then the next year, they made a really nice run.
11th straight win for Auburn in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. So they'll look to extend it and be a team, obviously, to make a run this season. Got a huge challenge. 6:10 is the time, correct?
6:10
on Saturday.
Central time, yep. And here at Legacy Arena in Birmingham.
Yep.
TBS is the network coverage.
Gosh, it should be a really good one between Auburn and Houston. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. For Mark Murphy, I'm Nathan King. We'll be here in Birmingham another couple days, and so we'll catch you guys soon. Thanks for tuning in.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.